Take your Bibles and go to the book of Joshua. And if you're not familiar with where Joshua is, it is in the Old Testament. It's the sixth book. I like to remember it in this phrase, Joshua judges Ruth, as in Joshua judging Ruth. But many of you probably already know where it is, but if you don't, hopefully that's a help in finding this book. I want to read the first nine verses of this chapter. And I've entitled this message, Courageous. Courageous. And this is, again, it's a special Sunday that we have deemed Senior Sunday. And I have a special heart for each of the seniors that are graduating, and I'm incredibly proud of every one of you. You made it. You made it. You got it done. And Lord has unbelievable plans in store for you as you stay close to Him. We're praying for you, and we certainly, we love you, and we believe that the hope of the church, hope of the future, is young people coming along, along behind us and living out the truths of the gospel. Joshua chapter 1, and let's read the first nine verses. The Bible says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto the fathers to give them. Only be thou very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." And really, if you want success in your life, just focus on Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. That's true success. And then let's read verse number 9. "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Would you bow with me for a word of prayer as we ask the Lord to speak to us this morning? Father, we know that your word is alive, it's living, it is our final authority, and within these pages we find the greatest answer that humanity needs, and it is the answer of how we can be rescued from our sins. And Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here today that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, Father, that they would put their trust in Christ and be rescued from their sins. Lord, we thank you so much that there is a way that we can be saved and we can be rescued, and that we can show Christ to this dark and dying world. And I pray that you would enable us, Father, to, by the help of your Spirit, be bold, be brave, and be courageous. Lord, I believe that that is more and more going to be something that we are going to need in this wicked world in which we live. Help us to stand up for Christ and to give Him glory in our lives. And I pray that as we look at this topic of courage from Joshua's instruction that he was given here, I pray that you, Lord, would speak to our hearts, challenge us, convict us, and grow us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I remember, believe it or not, graduating, it seems just like yesterday, 1994. And all of the broad horizons that were open. The seniors, it is a new and exciting time that is before you. New adventure awaits. New dreams, new plans, new roads to travel. And maybe for some of you thinking, man, yes, Pastor, you're right. What's coming to my mind right now is freedom. Well, hold on. Hold on. Because in the midst of the freedom, you're in a transition period. And some of the choices that you are making right now and that you will make in the next coming days and weeks and months are going to have an impact upon your life for a lifetime. Be aware, be on guard, be intentional about your choices. They are going to have a dramatic impact upon your future. And I believe one of the greatest things, young people, that you need to have to navigate forward in your life is this thing called courage. To be a courageous young man, to be a courageous young lady. And that's what every single one of us in this room needs. We see all of the things that are coming about with this virus and the increased hatred, I believe, toward Christianity. We talked about this in Sunday school, and really if the world is looking at the church as non-essential, then it's looking at us as non-essential. The world does not like Christians. They actually hate Christians because they hate Jesus Christ. And so in this world in which we live, in which evil is actually looked upon as good, and good is looked upon as evil, we're going to need to have a rock-solid, courageous stability to stand. And having done all to stand. I would define courage this way. Just three words. Perseverance under pressure. Perseverance under pressure. Let's say those three words together. Perseverance under pressure. One more time. Perseverance under pressure. And the pressure will come. The pressure will come to cave to your convictions. The pressure will come to cave to what you know to be true and what the Bible says is right. The pressure will come from this world because the world wants to conform you into its mold. No wonder the Apostle Paul wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, and be not conformed to this world. And so as the world wants to conform you, you need courage. You need to be courageous to stand up and say, I am not going to be conformed to this world by the help of the Lord. I want us to look at three truths pertaining to courage from the passage that we looked at. We'll look at some other supporting passages of Scripture. But three truths that we can learn about courage. Number one, courage is motivated by God's presence. It is motivated by the very presence of God in our lives. Look what Joshua was encouraged by, and no doubt he was afraid. Had to have been afraid. The Lord told him, be not afraid. But look what he was encouraged by in verse number 5. In the middle of verse number 5, the Bible says, as I was with Moses, what does it say next? So I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Skip down to verse number 9. In the last part of verse number 9, for the Lord thy God is what? With thee, whithersoever thou goest. You know, in the parent-child relationship, there's something about the parent being with the child that gives encouragement, that gives stability. It was a couple days ago, and it was Adelie. Adelie said, I need to go to the restroom. Said, well, go inside and use the restroom. Well, there was nobody in the house. So it wasn't too long after that I heard screaming and wailing coming in from outside. I heard it coming from inside the house there. And so I went inside and I said, Adelie, what's the problem? I want somebody to go with me. I want somebody to go with me. So I walked to the bathroom door and said, okay, there you go. Go on and go to the restroom there. She wanted somebody to go with her. That little statement, I want somebody to go with me. I want somebody to come with me. Child of God, if you have put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, He is with you. He is for you. He's for you. But on the flip side, if you're not a child of God this morning and you've not put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, He is not for you, but He is against you. Yes, He demonstrated His love to you upon the cross, but because of your sin, you are not right with God. You are in rebellion to God. The good news is He can be for you, and you can be changed from being an enemy of God to becoming a friend of God by putting your trust alone in Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you've never done that, trust in Him alone as your Savior so that you can say, God is for me. I'm no longer an enemy of God. I am at peace with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Salvation only comes when we put our faith alone in Him. And what a promise it is. What a wonderful promise to know God is with us. He's with me. That is one of the great truths that every single one of us need to continually remind ourselves of. He's with me. God is with me. I may not feel like He is with me, but He said He is with me. And I'm going to believe that to be true. I am never alone. John Wesley, on his deathbed with his family and his friends gathered by, as he grasped their hands, he said, best of all, God is with us. Best of all, God is with us. And so think about Joshua. Here he had been promised and directed by God to go into the promised land. He knew there were giants in the land. He knew there was wicked people in that land. He knew there was much territory to be conquered. Jericho walls that would have to eventually come down, Jordan rivers that would have to be crossed. And the fear that was in his heart could be overcome by the presence of an almighty God. I am with you. Young people, there are going to come times in your life in which you will come to the Jordan rivers. You'll come to the Jericho walls. You'll come to new territory, and you may be scared. You may not know what to do. What decisions should I make here? In the midst of your fears, there's an unbelievable presence, and it's the almighty presence of God in which you can say, man, I'm afraid, but God, I know You're with me. I know that You're going to enable me through this. You're with me. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 31, the Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? If God's for me, who can be against me? I may be in the minority in this world, but so what? With God, I'm in the majority. With Jesus Christ, I'm always in the majority. God be for us, who can be against us? And so we're going to need to have a boldness, a courageous stability to navigate this world in which we live that is filled with animosity toward Christianity and toward righteousness. The Bible says the righteous are bold as a lion, but the wicked pursue, when no man is pursuing them, the wicked flee. That last part was a paraphrase, but the emphasis on the first part, the righteous are bold as a lion. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 1. And we can be bold. You can be bold. You can be brave, young people, seniors in this room. You can be bold. You can be courageous when you bank upon the fact Jesus Christ is with me. He is with me. And nothing can separate me from His love. Absolutely nothing. Jesus said, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. And so number one, courage is motivated by God's presence. Again, what is courage? It is the perseverance that we have under pressure. It is to persevere under the pressure. Look with me at number two, a second principle pertaining to courage. Courage comes through dependence. It comes through dependence upon the Lord. For sure, Joshua, his faith grew. His faith grew, or his courage rather, grew through faith in God's promises, filled with the territory to be conquered, filled with what lied ahead. His courage was built, it grew through faith in the promises of God. And it is faith that gives you the courage to dare to do great and mighty things for the Lord. It's not about you. Never was about us. But it's about the glory of God, and it was about the glory of God working in the life of Joshua. Let's go back to the book of Numbers. Hold your place there in Joshua. Numbers, fourth book in the Old Testament, Numbers chapter 14. And I want us to see the faith that Joshua exhibited. Dependence and trust and faith, they are synonymous. So I want us to see how Joshua's courage grew through faith in God's promises. Numbers chapter 14, and picking it up at verse number 6. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. Okay, so remember, they went in, they spied out the land. There were 10 spies. Some of you remember the story, you know. 10 were bad, 2 were good. It's been a long, long time since I've sung that. But they went in, they spied out the land. 10 were filled with unbelief. And so Joshua and Caleb, they rose up in courage, and notice what they said here. In verse number 7, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. He had faith. Caleb had faith in what God had already promised. And because of his faith, his courage grew to dare to do mighty things for the cause of Christ. If we look back in Joshua chapter 1, in verses 2 through 4, we see the promise that is given again to Joshua here. And Joshua was resting on the promises of God. It wasn't about, well, I'm a strong and mighty military warrior, which he was. Joshua was an amazing military warrior. But it wasn't about what he could do. It was about what God could do through him as he depended upon the word that God gave to him. Young people, if we are filled with pride and we think, man, I'm going to go out and I'm going to conquer the world. It's mine for the conquering. I'm going to do it. I'm going to follow my heart. I'm going to follow my dreams. Well, that may be what Disney tells you to do, is follow your heart, follow your dreams into a world where no one tells you no, or all of those wonderful things in that song. It's not a message against the song, but we need to be careful that we're not following what the world's message tells us. Don't follow your heart. My heart is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? Follow the word of God. Best thing you can do is say, no matter what, by faith, I'm going to depend upon the word of God. God said it, and that settles it. Settles it. You're going to need to stand upon the word of God by faith. And as you believe in the promises of God, God will infuse you with courage. He will infuse you with courage in this challenging world in which we live. A man by the name of Roy Hessian wrote a book entitled Calvary Road. And in that book, he said these words pertaining to humility. To be broken is the beginning of revival. It is not I, but Christ. And a letter C is a bent I. Jesus can't fully reveal himself through us until the proud self within us is broken. You know, it's not really about how strong my faith is. You know, sometimes we erroneously say, well, my faith wasn't all that strong. Or, man, if only I had more faith. It's really about trusting God more. More times of trusting in Him when opportunities come about. It's not about saying, Lord, give me more faith. Boy, I just need more faith. No, it's not about the quantity of your faith. It's the quality of your faith. Choosing to depend more and more upon God. It's not about the strength of my faith. It's about the object of my faith. In a little bit, we're going to show a video of the seniors. And these always have a wonderful way of just producing tears and joy with parents. I don't know why we put ourselves through this torture, but in one of the pictures, I've thrown Kaylee up in the air, and she's probably about 10 feet up in the air. And it's one of my favorite pictures. Do you think Kaylee's faith is in herself? Well, here I'm up. I'm up in the air. I'm flying, and I think I'm going to land in my own strength. No, she's dependent upon me. And this past week, Adelie came to me, and she said, will you throw me up in there? Man, I tell you what. What am I now? I'll be 44 this year. So here's what it was like when I threw Kaylee up in the air. All right, Kaylee, you ready to be thrown up in the air? Oh, man, that's a piece of cake. I get Adelie. Okay, you ready, Adelie? Here we go. Oh, Daddy can do it again? Nope, no, I can't do it again. I'm done. I think one time was enough on that. What kind of faith does a child have? It's amazing. They're putting their faith in the strength of their dad. And young people, if I could put it this way, you need a first-hand faith. Not a second-hand faith. And I'm not against second-hand stuff. We go to Goodwill all the time. But that's all fine and good. But to have a second-hand faith, not so good. To have a hand-me-down kind of faith, not so good. You need a first-hand faith where God is real to you. Where you are walking by faith. Yeah, you may have seen your parents walk by faith and go through some hard times. But it's time for you to say, you know what, I'm going to have a first-hand faith where I am knowing Jesus Christ personally. Not riding on the coat strings of mom and dad or grandparents or whoever it might be. But to courageously walk by faith rooted in the Word yourself. If there is one thing that I could admonish you to do more than anything else, it is found there in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. It's be in the Word. Be in the Word. The Word is an anchor. It is that which can bolster us in the storm. And as you read the Word of God, get to know Jesus Christ personally. Have a personal walk with the Lord. Again, a first-hand faith. Oswald Chambers, who wrote a devotional, said these words pertaining to faith. He said, faith is the heroic effort of your life. You fling yourself in reckless confidence on God, who has ventured all in Jesus to save you, and now He wants you to venture your all in abandoned confidence in Him. In Him. Psalms 27 verse 14 says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You want your life to fly? You want it to count for the Lord Jesus Christ? Wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. To wait is to have confident expectation that flows into courage. Wait. How many in here you would say, I'm really good at waiting? I think probably, if we're honest, every one of us, for the most part, would have to say, I'm not so good at waiting. We don't like to. And this culture has built into us this thing of, you don't have to wait for anything. And that may be okay with a microwave. The food is not as good coming out of the microwave, but that may be all fine and good there. But when that bleeds over into our lives where we say, you know what, I can't wait. I want it now. And that's what the culture is feeding you, young people. You don't have to wait. You can have what you want right now. If it feels good, go for it. You can have it now. Don't wait. Follow your heart. You know what sin is? I heard Charles Stanley say this one time. Sin is wanting now what God says wait. Sin is wanting now what God says wait. Wait for. Wait on the Lord. You know, some of your worst decisions are going to be made when you say, well, I want it now. It feels good in my flesh. I want it now. And one of the greatest tools that Satan uses in the lives of young people is to ensnare them in lust and physical relationships. In this transition period, be on guard. Root yourself in this book right here. If it's right, if it's right, it's right. It's wrong. And if it's wrong, it's wrong, right? So if I am going to be infused with courage, then I'm going to have the faith to say, all right, my faith is anchored in this book right here. And as a child of God, I'm not going to live my life based upon the way I think I should live my life, but based upon the Word of God. It is my final authority. Learning to wait on God is the best place for us to be in. Remember who you are. As you walk by faith, remember who you are. Yes, live up to the Wilson name, the Hicks name, the Bach name. But what I'm talking about, remembering who you are, remember that you are a blood-bought, born-again child of God. If you have put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you are His. You are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. You're His. For the rest of your life, remember who you are. Courage is tied to dependence and waiting upon the Word of God, waiting upon the Lord. Certainly it'll be a road less traveled. There's far too many that are living their lives based upon their own desires. And that's the broad road of destruction. We're talking about a road less traveled, where you put yourself in a position where it's harder to sin and easier to do right. And that is where courage comes. Thirdly, we've looked at number one, courage is motivated by God's presence. Number two, courage comes through dependence. And then thirdly and finally, courage always arrives at obedience. And I think we can see how these are intertwined together. But it's so important as we think about courage, it is always going to arrive at the destination of obedience. It's not going to arrive at something different. And I'm talking about godly courage here. I'm not talking about courage in the sense of risky things. No, it's not godly courage. Courage from God is going to arrive at obedience. In the book of Joshua, chapter 1, in verses 7 and 8, let's read it once again. And I want you to see the emphasis here on the obedience of Joshua and really the emphasis of one word. One word made of two letters, do. Let's read it. Joshua 1, verses 7 and 8. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to... What's it say? What's it say? Do. Do. To do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Do not buy into the lie that grace for the child of God is a license to sin. And that obedience is some kind of chain that's placed upon us. If you love me, Jesus said, keep my commandments. And so Joshua's, his courage was demonstrated in his obedience. He went forward into the land. Was it easy? Absolutely not. The Jericho walls did have to be shattered by the power of God working through his faith and his courage to move forward. There was the Jordan River that was going to be crossed, but yet he obediently moved forward. It was Jim Elliot who said this pertaining to obedience and doing the will of God. Wherever you are, be all there. Live to the hilt every situation you believe to be the will of God. Young people, you know what the will of God is for your life? Growing up, for some reason for me, it was kind of this ambiguous mystery, the will of God. You know what the will of God is? Right here. Just obey the word. And everything else will come into place. If you are seeking the Lord in your own obedience to the word of God, he will direct your steps. He'll direct you to the place you need to be, the career you need to be. Leave that all to the Lord. He'll perfectly direct with your talents, your gifts, as long as you're seeking him for his honor and his glory. What you need to take care of is just obeying the word. Obey what you know to do. Eddie Rickenbacker, the famed World War I pilot, said, courage is doing what you're afraid to do. Sometimes we are afraid to obey the word of God. But as we rest in the Lord and in him and his strength and his power, he will enable us. I finish with this illustration. We're done. There's a Prussian king by the name of Frederick the Great who lived many, many years ago, and he was an agnostic. In contrast, his general, von Zeeland, who was one of his most trusted officers, was a devoted follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, during one festive gathering that the king had organized, the king began making crude jokes about Jesus Christ. And he got everyone rocking with laughter, all but von Zeeland. Finally, von Zeeland arose and addressed the king. He said, "Sire, you know that I have not feared death. I have fought and won 38 battles for you. I am an old man, and I shall soon have to go into the presence of one greater than you, one mightier than you, the mighty God who saved me from my sin, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom you are blaspheming. So I salute you, sire, as an old man who loves his Savior on the edge of eternity." Now, this man was prepared for whatever the king was going to do. The king could have had him taken out and executed at that very moment. In this case, the king paused and said, "I beg your pardon. I beg your pardon, sir." And the party ended. There are going to come those moments, young people, adults, when the line will be drawn in the sand. Are you going to courageously and unapologetically and unashamedly say, "I am a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what the world brings, no matter what the world throws at me, no matter what pressure comes, no matter how hard it gets to live the Christian life, I will persevere under pressure"? Will you boldly and proudly say that? Will you say, "Count me in"? Count me in. I want to be a courageous Christian for the glory of Jesus Christ. What is courage? What is it? Do you remember the definition? Let's say it together. Perseverance under pressure. Will you have that kind of courage? Will you persevere under pressure? By the grace of God, we can. By his presence, as we depend upon him. And then, as we just saw here, as we obey him. All of these linked together. He can and he will enable you to be filled with unbelievable courage. Father, help us to stand for you, for the name of Jesus Christ, to not be ashamed to be a follower of Christ, to take up our cross, to deny ourselves and gladly follow after him, no matter what may come, no matter the pressure. Lord, I pray that as we have finished the message, may we not leave the message here, but may we live it out in our lives. And Lord, for anyone that's here today that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, Lord, I pray that today possibly would be even the day of their salvation. And so, Father, I pray that you would work now in this time of invitation. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to let you remain seated with heads bowed and eyes closed. The piano is going to begin playing. If I could encourage each and every Christian that is in here today to just pause at this time and ask God to fill you with courage to persevere under the pressure, because the pressure is going to increase in this world in which we live. Spend some time talking to the Lord. Perhaps today, when we talked about God being for you, you would have to admit that God is against you because you have not put your trust in Jesus Christ as Savior. The Bible is very clear. Without Christ, we are enemies of God due to our sin. The only way that we can be brought into a right relationship with God, to move from a place of an enemy to a friend, to be brought into peace, is to trust in Jesus Christ alone as our Savior. To trust in Him to rescue us from our sin. And I'd like to do this morning with no one looking around. We're not going to embarrass anyone. But perhaps today you would say, Pastor, I don't know for sure that I have placed my trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I don't know for sure if I were to die today, if I would go to heaven. Again, we're not going to embarrass anyone, but with no one looking around, would you be honest enough to admit just by an uplifted hand to say, you know what, Pastor, I don't know for sure that I'm saved. I can't recall a time in which I asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior. If that's the case, could you just slip up your hand so I could see it and then just put it right back down? Anyone at all willing to admit that this morning, pray for me. I don't know Jesus Christ as my Savior. Would you pray for me? I hope and I pray that that means each and every one of you's a child of God, but if not, see me afterward. I'll be available at the end of the service. Come to me, come to someone else that you have confidence in, that you know is a believer themselves, and say, I don't know for sure that I'm saved. And we would be happy to take the Word of God and show you how you can know without a doubt that your sins have been forgiven and that you're a child of God. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the good news of the gospel. And we thank you for courage that we can have to live in this difficult world. We know that opposition will come. We've got to expect it. But in the face of that, Lord, may we respond in ways that bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.